Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Back recording the show after a little bit of a break for me. I went away at shows last week, missed Friday and Monday just because of some travel. And I actually haven't recorded an episode in over a week because of work stuff, my day job stuff. So this is a good feeling. It's good to be back in the hosting, quote-unquote, studio. We're going to do a little recap of the Pelicans' loss last night. It was a kind of a crazy game. And then we're going to do mailbag. Obviously, submit your mailbag questions, as always, to LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And again, tag me at CWMWrites if you want to make sure. If you have a really big question you want to make sure I get to, just tag me and I'll make sure you get it. Because I know I've missed a couple before, but I'll make sure I get those. To look at last night's game first. Man, the Cavs lose 124-122. The Pelicans don't have Anthony Davis, their best player by far. Kyrie Irving scores 49 points, most of which came in the second half. He's 8-14 from 3, 11-11 from the free throw line. LeBron James has a triple-double, a bad game by his standards, really, in some ways. And yet he has a triple-double. Kevin Love has a double-double. I thought he was a little stiff. And the Cavs lose. Quite honestly, I don't really think you can three best players relatively play at that level. How the Cavs have sort of lost over the past, let's say, 2 weeks is not exactly a good thing. It's not, these have not been losses that are them, in some cases at least, are kind of just coasting. I think you're seeing losses where in certain games you're not seeing them with lift from the get-go. Don't have any lift. You didn't have them coming out looking really energetic, looking really engaged from the get-go. I'm way back into this game, largely because the Pelicans aren't as good of a team in scoring most of his points in the second half. He had 14 points in the first half, everything a little bit more engaged late. It took Kevin Love, this was a 5-point loss, not a 2. Right before the buzzer goes off, and then the Pelicans more time. That was a 5-point game, and it is what it is. Pulling down 11 boards, and you know, just playing maybe the best game of his career. Blocker really struggled against him defensively. I thought Jrue Holiday was great, just kind of getting the best defensive performance on Holiday. Monta Ellis, I thought, played well for them, like the Pelicans team. The Pelicans are not good, even with Anthony Davis. Like, he's a great, great player. If you're the Cavs, you should not lose a game like this, I don't think. And 5-7, you know, the road trip certainly taints that. The road trip certainly... I'm going right here into a weird little loop, because that road trip was those road trips are brutal. You're playing at Utah, then playing in Portland. That's a brutal back. Brutal. You beat the Kings, which, you know, you probably had to do. And then you know you lose in Golden State. And then you come home and beat Phoenix and look clean after some rest. You lose to the Spurs. The Spurs are great. The Spurs have the second best record in the NBA. Some of that's probably going to happen. You lose in overtime. You probably could have played better in that game. I thought the bench really cost the Cavs in that game. There are some underlying things that I think are worth noting. I don't think the 5-of-7 is necessarily the big deal. I think that some of the more interesting stuff is... I will be there Wednesday, so maybe I can follow up on some of this with the media and kind of see what they say. A couple quotes. This is from Jason Lloyd's always must-read final thought piece, that he posts after every game. And this is the first one. Is, quote, "We're not better than last year from a personnel standpoint. We're a top-heavy team. Hard it was to do that shit. I just hope we're not satisfied." Got time to waste. That's what I'm talking about. When I feel like physically and mentally, me personally, King of Cleaver, like no time soon. And he didn't finish that sentence. This is a guy who's kind of says they want a playmaker. He wants a point guard. He wants them to go get people. Smith's injury certainly clouds that. I think, you know, you plan on him coming back and he's not. This is sort of a top heavy team. If you're looking at the roster right now, LeBron's playing 44 minutes. This guy should not be playing that many minutes. Is the answer player? He only played 5 minutes last night. I think you could probably give him more minutes, take some of the burden off those guys playing 44 minutes in random games in January. If we're talking about an issue of the last couple against the Spurs, he's kind of getting at these like 40 minute things all the time, and that's not really ideal for LeBron. He's frustrated about it. I think you want to rest into that in the mailbag questions, but it is what it is. And LeBron right now, Just a game. That goes back to his total, his second year in Miami. He played 36.1. Last year, played 35.6. This year, he's just kind of playing a lot of minutes in situations where it's probably not. Again, with frustrated, Tyronn Lue was like, yeah, I should have got these guys out faster. LeBron shouldn't have played that much. And that's a fair call. And I think that's what's to watch coming out of this game with how the Cavs react to that game. It wasn't pretty. Nothing really good about it. And that kind of is what it is. We'll see how they look Wednesday against the Kings. They get a team they should beat. And then you move from there, you get the Nets on Friday. And that's another team you should beat. So I pointed that on this on Twitter. They have a relatively easy schedule coming. I would expect some guys to get some rest. But at the same time... this could be a chance to pile up on the rest of the East, but I would value rest over that personally. I think if LeBron gets a week rest here, wouldn't surprise me. If he sits Wednesday, I kind of think that would be the right play. He just played, again, 44 minutes. If you rest him Wednesday, you could theoretically let him play Friday and have an easy night Friday. Or if you want to be even bolder, you could just rest him Wednesday, rest him Friday against two bad teams. Just like Kyrie and Kevin figured out, they're going to have to kind of figure out how to do that stuff in some way. And I think it would kind of force the Cavs to thrive or to fail again. And that could be optically not great, but it could be a learning experience. And then you have him play on Sunday when Russell Westbrook and the Thunder come to town. So maybe that's the way to do it. That's what I think I would do. But I'm not an NBA coach, and I'm not Tyronn Lue, so we'll have to kind of see what their decision is. But I would expect some LeBron rest coming soon, and maybe we'll see some player movement soon, too. I'm not sure. All right, so we're going to get in the mailbag question this week. But before we do that, just want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. As you know, SeatGeek's the best way for you to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. You can download the app on any smartphone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone. And you're going to be able to check any ticket price from all the big sellers out there, whether you're looking for a Cavs tickets or a concert tickets or just any kind of tickets that you maybe want to buy. The SeatGeek app's going to grade them based on score, so if it's a green deal, it's good. If it's red, it's not so good. And you're going to be able to see the view from your seat as well, so you know exactly what your seat is going to look like and what kind of experience you're going to get at whatever you're going to. There's no hidden fees. You're going to know exactly what you're paying up front. And SeatGeek's just going to cover all your bases. There's no better way to buy tickets. I myself just used SeatGeek recently to get Run the Jewels tickets, saw Killer Mike and LP, and it was great. And I got to see these guys perform Run the Jewels 3, perform some of Run the Jewels 1 and 2, and it was because I used SeatGeek. And my listeners today can save $20 off that first purchase. by using the promo code LOCAVS, that's LOCAVS, and enter the data into the settings tab, and you'll get a $20 mail-in rebate on that first purchase. Again, SeatGeek, it's the best way to buy tickets right on your smartphone and save $20 off that first purchase by using the promo code LOCAVS. So, with that done, we're going to get into mailbag questions. Again, submit those to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com or to LockedOnCavs on Twitter. Got a ton of great questions this week. Some of them I'm going to go shorter on. If you want me to go longer on some of them, tweet me and I'll do something longer on them. We're going to do some more on some of these later in the week, so that's partially why I'm going to go shorter on some of these, but we'll get there. So first one is from Rick in an email. He says, rank these Cavs players slash assets. Jordan McRae, Kay Felder, Chetty Osman, Amon Shumpert, and the 2018 first-round pick. So I think Shumpert's the best asset in that group. He's the actual rotation guy. From there, I think it's Osman. I think he's a guy who I really think could play in the NBA next year. I think he's cost-controlled labor next year. And he's long, he's going to do NBA things, and I think he'd be the next guy. Then I think I would go to the 2018 first-round pick. It's a first-round pick. I had a Twitter conversation about this yesterday with a couple of you, but first-round picks are going to become really interesting because two-way contracts and expanded rosters are coming to the NBA, and teams are going to have, I think, more of an earnest desire to develop guys, and they're going to have the room to develop guys. So does a late first-round pick become more valuable because you can give him that two-way contract, save some money on that pick theoretically, and have him play in the D League, or do you want to accumulate younger guys because you have more roster space? For the Cavs, I think first-round picks become less tradable if you really want to develop young, cost-controlled labor. So I think that pick's actually semi-valuable. Not quite as valuable as a more known quantity in this case, or Shumpert, but I think it's actually pretty close, more so under the new CBA than the old CBA. Then I would go Felder. I just think he's probably the better prospect. But I don't think there's a huge difference between him and McRae, who would be last. So next comes from James B. I saw you tweeting with Matt Moore about Jameer Nelson. Is he someone the Cavs could get? Would he be an upgrade over Kay Felder? So I think in a vacuum, Jameer Nelson would be a good backup point guard fit. Matt and the Denver and the guys like Daniel Lewis and Anna Maris, who hosts Locked On Nuggets. They talk about Nelson, and they know him better than I do at this point of his career, and I think he is a good player. I think he has value. I think he'd fit what the Cavs need out of a backup point guard. I also don't think he'd be that hard to get, just because the Nuggets, they don't necessarily need him. They have some issues there, and they're trying to make the playoffs, and he helps them make the playoffs because Jamal Murray and Moody are the only point guards, and Moody has been sort of bad. Kind of has been very disappointing for them, but the trick with Nelson, I think, is that he's 34. Point guards don't typically age that well, so he's making 4.5 this year, 4.7 next year, and then 8.4 that amount of time. It's a full salary protected deal per the verticals, so you'd have to commit to paying Jameer Nelson. I'm not really a big fan of that. I think there are guys that are relatively the same level, like a Mario Chalmers, a Norris Cole, that you wouldn't have to pay that much money to. You get them cheaper, and if you're the Cavs, you want to keep your tax bill a little bit lower. So I like the idea of Jameer Nelson. I could certainly be convinced into it. Maybe you could flip him for McRae in a second-round pick or something like that, and then maybe I would do it. And I believe he would, under his current salary, fit into one of the trade exceptions they have left. And maybe it's half of the Varejão, maybe it's the ones they created into the Korver deal, which they did create some trade exceptions there because David Griffin is a master getting trade exceptions. But I think there is just a little bit of a long-term salary concern for me there. I don't really like the idea of paying Jameer Nelson about $9 million in 2018-19. I'm not really down for that, and you could certainly trade his contract, but if you have to trade his contract, what are you attaching to that contract? Are you trading picks to get rid out of the contract? Are you just eating the salary, or are you going to buy him out? Like, I think there's be bought out there, but I don't think you were at dead weight, so I'm not going to sit here and think that to me makes a lot of sense. I like the idea of it again, but I think there are kind of some optical issues there for Jameer Nelson. Next we have Douglas Philippi via email. He says, What do the Cavs need to do? I think the one thing that I would just say from, if you're looking at that last Golden, a little bit tired at the end of a road trip. I mean, we should have seen some of that loss coming. I think there are certainly things you can't take away, and we shouldn't just write that game off as nothing. The Warriors, and I think the Cavs are going to have to be really rested coming into that game to really succeed. Some of the Cavs' issues I'm willing to write off to effort levels. The bench is really, really good at all right now. I think some of that is going to be, because I think Amon Shumpert was actually really useful off the bench, playing the role he was as a backup guard. Shumpert has been a little bit up and down of late. So I don't think you have LeBron James. You have Kyrie Irving. You did it last year on the biggest stage when you were rested and you beat the Warriors again. I think you want to tighten up the defense. I think you'd want to tighten up the rotation. I think you'd want to be able to give Golden State a really good series. It's them and San Antonio, the only two teams I think are going to give them a hell of a playoff series if that happens. But it's the Cavs and San Antonio, the Warriors. And I think if you're the Cavs, it's just being healthy and being optimal of a setup like you did for this game come finals. Like, yes, you're going to have play a couple of precious product at the biggest time of the year. And when you get to that point, you're not going to have just the case. And I think you will start seeing elements of the Cavs setting themselves up for the game. If I was a Cavs fan, if you're a Cavs fan out there, I would not be 100% shook by that Monday game. It is what it is. At Real Tay Grove on Twitter, who actually responded to a former old podcast we have. So he says, Wyland Stevenson, not an option. But he does have an injury. He did have surgery on that groin. You don't really want to. I don't think he's when he got hurt in November, it was expected. And I also think there's just the thing with Lance is that I think what he is right now is not what he was with the Pacers. He's not really he's an okay passer. He's not a shooter. And I think for the Cavs, you want guys who can shoot. For the Cavs, you don't want to sign someone who you have to really, really accommodate and have to kind of Korver works partially because he's very personality, and he, on the floor, he makes sense. With Lance, he doesn't shoot that well off ball, and there's a whole thing with LeBron in the past, and I don't think you just touch that guy, to be honest with you. Bigger than your normal point guard, he did some of those duties with the Pacers in, when he was at, personally. And I think most indications are, and I could be wrong about this, that he New Orleans if he's going to be in the NBA this year. So that's kind of my anti-Lance Stevenson thing. I think he's probably going to get, someone's going to maybe sign him if he's healthy. I don't think it should be the Cavs. I don't think it will be the Cavs. I'd be very, very shocked if they got Lance Stevenson. So Slade asks, where do you think the Cavs stand amongst the league's best teams after seeing them play all the best teams at least once, and specifically the Warriors and Spurs over the last few weeks? It seems like you could place them any spot, 1 through 3, and have a good argument. So for me, I think I would probably have them at 3 right now. I think just the recent stretch has them a little bit down in my own mental power rankings. The Spurs and Warriors are both like insane. Like, the Warriors are top 5 in offensive rating and defensive rating. The Spurs are very close. I think they're 3rd in defense and 7th in offense. I could be, I might be a tad off on that, but I think that's what they were at least coming into the Saturday game. Some of that, I think, is the Cavs aren't playing with a lot of effort, and I think the Cavs are the 3rd best team. I think they're the 3rd best team in the East. You could certainly argue them 2nd, but I think it's those 3 teams are the stuff, so I think 3 is pretty fair for them. You could certainly say 2, but the Spurs are really good against those teams. They have beat the Rockets, lost to the Jazz, who are very good. You're looking at in terms of evaluating where the Cavs are at. Next, we're going to go to James Watson at Jim Run. I guess. I think there are better options. I think, and I don't really think. I think if you're getting a guy, the Cavs are going to probably get someone Ron is familiar with that they know is an uncle commodity. So that's why we keep talking about Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole. And on paper, it's just a perfect fit. And they get him at a. They got him for a low price, for not very much, on an affordable contract, and that you fit in a trade exception. It fits a bunch of criteria. I have really good suggestions. Let me hear them. Tweet me them. I'll maybe do some research on this and personally fit that. I think he's a decent player. I think he has value. Don't get me wrong there, but I don't think he's necessarily a guy that I am. Would clamor for as a backup point guard. I mean, if you look at what he's 30 years old. He is 6'3". That size is nice, but he's not from the field. 35% from 3 almost. The Sixers, like, You could do better. Aim higher. This is what I would just tell you as getting somebody. Aim higher. Just because I think David Griffin's probably going to maybe be... So we're going to wrap this up here with two questions from Brittany Hay. Will the front office start trading rotation players like Shump to at least restock some assets and first-round picks? 2010, 2011 Cavs. So, my thing of or Kyrie Irving are always going to be the guy that if you wanted to deal and get a big haul in return, I think he's the one guy, to be honest with you. Cavs' future post LeBron is going to look like Mad Max. It's going to be a wasteland. It's going to be gross. It's going to be coming in a couple years. Because post LeBron, unless Kyrie and Love suck at it, they're going to be bad. They're going to have lottery teams again. I think like maybe present day Nets is a bit too far because that was just awful roster. If that happens, I think you probably go. You're playing with LeBron James. You're going to do everything. So that's kind of how they're reviewing things. That's how the Cavs are kind of chasing things. And you're trying to win as much as you can while he is in his prime because that is your best chance to win a title, I would argue. And I think if you have to trade guys, you have to trade guys. And I think a token first-round pick. And I'm pretty sure you only could get like a first-round pick for him. And I'm also just have a lot of guys that I think would get you a lot on the trade market. They're guys like that. No. You're going to try to win with this group, and you're going to maximize this. Because, okay, well, we competed for titles, and maybe they win two of them. I think that's probably worse. Spurs sort of buck that, but, like, the Warriors are going to be bad again one day. And teams like the Nets, eventually, probably will be at least decent to good again. Cyclical points, and certainly teams continue to be bad. Like, the Kings are bad kind of every cyclical rotation of when you're good and when you're bad, and it's one star cycle in and out. MLB.com's Cavs beat reporter early in the season saying the Cavs were showcasing Jordan McRae. How much trade value? Like, he was just toiling in the D-League before the Cavs got him. I think he could be worth a good deal. It is a salary filler thing. And that they offer you something of value. I mean, I probably do it. I'm not sure he's actually that good, so. Chance of having a real asset, but he's kind of just kind of been what we kind of may probably expect him kind of there. That's kind of how I view Jordan McRae. I think you could get a second round again for submitting so many great questions. I think this is the most we've ever gotten. A lot of ones that really kind of made me think about stuff in unique ways, and I'm pretty excited about that. Again, submit those to LockedOnCavs on Twitter and to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. Again, you can tweet me at SeedBoomRight. You can find the show on Facebook. Go subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us that 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Really appreciate when you guys do that. Thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring today's podcast. Again, go use that promo code LOCAVS to save $20 on that first purchase. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the Kings game, and we'll be back on Thursday to recap the Kings game. This has been Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.